I'm rolling up my sleeves because we're going to get dirty again today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place, God, and I don't think that we thank you for that enough. Father, I pray that right now, God, you would take this time to engage our hearts, God, through the reading and the teaching of your word. God, that we would be changed, God, through your Holy Spirit's guidance and prompting of your truth, God, and how we are to live it out. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for a magnification again of your presence within us and around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, Bill and I were brainstorming about where does God want us to go after we just did this great series on aligning our heart with God. And we felt very compelled that God wants us to take some time to speak about prayer. One of the most key elements to our faith. It is how we engage God. And last week, I spoke about being actively still as a step that we take in prayer. And for some of you who weren't here, I'll give you a quick synopsis. We spoke about Moses, and we spoke specifically about how God viewed Moses in the light of all the other prophets. And we took a piece of scripture about when Aaron and Miriam rebelled against Moses. And God said to Aaron and Miriam, he said, because Moses, okay, listen, we said, is the most humble man in all the land, right? There was nobody that they could find more humble than Moses. Prophets I speak to in words and visions and dreams, but to Moses I speak face to face. And we acknowledge that the reason why God spoke to Moses so intimately was because of his humility. And we define that humility as meekness. And the thing, this is how I love the Lord when he does this stuff and you're reading his word and he unfolds things to you. The definition of being meek, the one piece I pulled from that was somebody who is meek is easily imposed upon. And we said that there's negative connotations to being imposed upon, and I asked my wife for forgiveness afterwards, but I said, when she wants me to clean the kitchen, and I'm watching a football game, and she imposes her wants for me to clean the kitchen. That's a negative connotation. If you like football, it's definitely a negative connotation. But the positive connotation to it, in the other sense of the definition, is that it's to grab somebody's attention. And Moses was just willing enough to allow God to grab his attention, to impose himself upon Moses. And so, in active stillness, in those moments where we rest in the presence of God, we allow him, in our humility, to impose himself upon us. And through that time, God speaks. And we spoke about how prayer is a two-way street. It's not us expressing our wants and our needs to God, but it's us speaking with God and hearing his response in that active stillness. So, today we move on to another element of how do we engage in prayer. I said last week we talked about this disease, this sickness that has penetrated the body of believers. And it blocks our ears to hearing God's voice. But there's a second part to that. It also affects our hearts. The symptoms include, but are not limited to, self-reliance, lackadaisical attitudes or approaches in our relationship with God. It starves us. It malnourishes us spiritually. It keeps us from knowing our Lord in greater intimacy. It keeps us floating on the surface of our faith, and it doesn't encourage a deeper knowledge or a desire to encounter the glory of God. Before we go into the background of Scripture, any of you ever been dehydrated before? Experienced dehydration? That's the worst feeling in the world, isn't it? As an athlete, I've experienced it once, severe dehydration. And I was looking up symptoms and causes. And we'll go back to this a little bit later on, but I want to start off with this. When we lose too much water and we don't replenish our body source, right, of water, dehydration can cause our bodies to become out of balance, and in more severe cases, can cause death. And the cause of dehydration is not limited to, but when we fail to seek an appropriate water and or food source, or we have an impaired ability to drink, meaning somebody faints or becomes comatose, and they physically are not capable of getting to that source of water to rehydrate their bodies. So, keep this in mind. Dehydration. A little bit of background. We're going to speak about Psalm 63. Psalm 63 is one of three psalms that David writes during this time when he's fleeing Absalom. Okay, his son. Great kid, right? This is like a model family picture right here. He totally goes and, in a conniving way, gets the backing and the support of Israel and usurps his father's authority, right? And is basically trying to take over the throne. And so David, out of fear for his life, flees, right? So he leaves his people. He grabs some of his other people in authority, okay, and runs, right? He's going through the Judean desert, okay, and he's trying to find some kind of asylum, some kind of a safety from his son. So, and if you ever want to check that out, that's in 2 Samuel, okay, chapter 15 goes into that. So, in the Judean desert, now I've never been to Israel, some of you might have, okay, but one of the things that's so dangerous about the deserts there is that it's so dry and so hot that you don't even break a sweat. Can you believe that? Does that make sense? Your sweat evaporates like that. The second it breaks the skin, gone. So how do you know that you're dehydrating? You don't, right? That's the danger of it. Okay, that's where it gets a little bit tricky. You're walking through this desert and you think you're doing great, and then all of a sudden you start feeling a little bit out of balance. And then you can't find a water source because you're in a desert. And then it overtakes you. So, David is wandering through this desert, dangerous desert, and the elements are just not very gracious. And this is what David writes about this account. Psalm 63, starting with the first verse, and we only go through a part of it. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus, I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. So, David, wandering through this desert, no doubt felt physical dehydration. But also a little bit of background here. When David fled, he left behind something. He left behind the ark of God's presence. That thing that that carried God's presence wherever they went. David was now without. In this scripture, David expresses his great thirst for that presence once again. He says, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you. Now, we talked about dehydration and the constant need of having a water source. Now, when David was fleeing, with him leaving behind the ark, without the physical presence of God, David was starving for the presence of the Lord. He's craving the presence of God that he encountered so many times in his life. The line that he speaks, where he's seen him in his sanctuary and experienced his power and glory. David has had this tangible, real-life, physical experience with God's presence. And he didn't have it anymore. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. The first thing that David did when he started feeling that spiritual dehydration, he started praising God. He went after God's presence. He sought God's presence. It says, my lips will glorify you. I will lift up my hands to you because your love is better than life. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. In the other translation that we have up here, if you can go to the second screen. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on that. This goes back to David's memories of God's presence. When the Israelites encamp around the tabernacle, in the tabernacle there's this table, an offering, where they burn the offering, the fatted calf. He's satisfied with marrow and fatness. Not that he's eating it, but that he's smelling the offering that was made before God. And it draws his memory to those times when he experienced God's presence. David says that he meditates on his word day and night. To meditate on a word, do you understand what meditate means? The idea of meditation? Meditating also comes from the same root word that they use for animals who chew cud. They take in food. David takes in the presence of God. They digest their food. Goes into one stomach. And then when they need more nourishment, that food gets recalled back up. And they chew it again and get the nutrients from it. It goes into another stomach. And when they need more nourishment, it comes back up. They chew on that and it goes into another part of the stomach. David's meditating is recalling those moments, those memories of being in God's presence. He was dry and dehydrated. He was near spiritual death. He was running for his life. And he had no physical source of water. But what did he find? He found living water. That's what he called upon. He started by praising God. In my experience of entering into God's presence, for me it starts with praise. always starts with praise. And we're blessed to have a wonderful worship team here every Sunday. They do a fantastic job of taking us there, don't they? Amen. And when our lips sing God's praises and build an awesome sermon series on praise and worship, it prepares our hearts to enter into the presence of God. It recalls to us that He is the greatest need that we can possibly have. When we pray, how often do we pray, not wrongfully, but God, I need this. God, I need your help in this. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. Instead of, God, you're so good. God, no matter what the circumstances are in my life, I will never stop praising your name. He says that God, His love, is better than life. No matter what happens to David, if he still experiences God's love and presence, that's his sustenance. David was starving for the presence of God. And he was longing for that moment once again. When you read the language of David's psalm here, it's desperate, isn't it? It's desperate. It's longing and desiring and yearning. And how many of us, myself included, enter into prayer with that desperation to encounter God's presence? I don't always. Sometimes I throw up regular generic prayers. But I found that those are very unfulfilling in my life. That if I want to have an encounter, an experience, a moment where God imposes Himself upon me, where God invades me, invades my space, I need to come running to Him hungry for His presence. I need to come running to Him as if I didn't take one more sip of water, I was going to die. And that's what David was expressing in his prayer. Now, the wonderful thing is that God no longer dwells in a golden box. Right? God dwells among us, always. And we spoke about this last week. The definition of tabernacle is presence. And He tabernacles among us now. Entering into His presence isn't a matter of us going to the temple. It's a matter of us going before God with our hearts humble and ready to experience Him. Here's the question. If we want to hear from God, if in our prayer life we pray as though God, we are expecting God to respond, do we go to God in a way that we act like we need Him more than we need our next drink of water? Do we go before God like we need Him more than we need our next meal? Do we need God more than we need air to breathe? Last week I said, the greatest tragedy of any believer is living a life of faith but never experiencing the presence of God and never being able to interact with Him. That's not relationship. And God calls us to a relationship. And David knew that. I believe David spoke with God every day, a man after God's own heart. And he was desperate for that encounter again when he was in that dry and weary land. This isn't just physical talk, folks. Yeah, David was in the desert physically. He was also in the desert spiritually too. And he needed God to sustain him in that dryness. A life where we don't experience the power and the glory of God is just like that dry and weary land. When we don't seek the presence of God, when we aren't praying prayers that allow God to invade, we become spiritually dehydrated and out of balance. How can we live lives according to God's will and destiny for us if we aren't praying and seeking for God to give us direction and insight? If we as a church are wanting God's will for this congregation and for the church universally and for the people in our neighborhood, how do we expect to be effective if we're not praying and asking God to give us that insight and wisdom? As men and women with families, how do we expect to be effective parents or to be good sons and daughters if we don't seek God's guidance in our prayers? Otherwise, life is empty. It's dry. And we'll dehydrate. And we'll be spiritually malnourished. Step one in prayer is active stillness. Quieting yourself. Shutting out all distraction. Listening for God to speak. And we establish that that happens. God's given a lot of prophetic words to this church. It happens. And two, pursuing God in a hungry way, not just in a lackadaisical manner, not just like, well, God's here all the time, I can do it whenever. No. Like you need Him, like you need your next breath of air, like you need that next drop of water, like you need that next meal. That's how we pursue God's presence, through praise, adoration, pursuing Him with all of our hearts and entering into His presence. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, thank You that You are present, God. You are not far off. You are very near. God, and we need You more than we need that next drop of water. We need You more than we need in that next breath of air. God, Your love is better than life. And we desire to hear You speak to us. God, we desire to meet You face to face. We desire to experience Your glory. God, give us hungry hearts that we might pursue Your presence, know Your power and Your glory, to have that tabernacle experience, God, where we were satisfied because of the aroma that came from the Holy of Holies. You are holy, 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 God. And we desire nothing more. God, we desire only You. Because, Father, when we seek You first, God, everything else falls into place. God, speak. Guide and direct us in our lives. Be that sustaining desire that we seek in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.